September 17th. The rest of this is not a poem anymore. So I'm like 5 minutes into my walk today, and I'm already going, okay, Paul, gotta get that poem going. Gotta. 20 years is a lot of time to make up for, and my head is warping into it. And then I thought, there, right there, that's the exact reason I quit writing poems 20 years ago, that gotta, until there's nothing there except a foofy white dog yip-yapping, look, over here, I'm pretty great. And really, aren't you just a guy who walks in the woods guy without me? Me, I make you the guy who walks in the woods guy. They read me and think, wow, you. And without me, they don't think of you at all, not one half second. And that damn little pain-in-the-ass dog is right. But so what, I think. Yeah, you're pretty great. If I do all the work to make you pretty great. And besides, why would you think you're even pretty great? What have you ever done for me? You. Yeah, you. I'm looking right at you. And those others, too. The ones I turned into book after book. Sent out a million times. And what? Nothing. A million form letters. Dear Chump, thank you for sending us your reading fee so I don't have to really try to sell anything. And self-addressed stamped envelope so I didn't have to walk across the room to shred up this POS manuscript. I mean your work. I didn't even bother to read. Or did I? Don't remember. So buy our new books. My grandfather's life sucked and now I'm so sad, let me tell you. And I'll put in a few real French words to make you think I know what surrealism is. Anyway, you. I mean you, mean dog over there. Now, not that letter-writing guy. You won't get anywhere today unless I say so. And right now, I'm not saying so. I'm going to stay here, right here, over here, where I am, my walk, the one I got to take all those 20 years while you and the rest of your snippy shit friends sat around in someone else's posh parlor. A real poet, maybe. Books. Then they took you to the hairdresser, fed you chopped steak from a china bowl. I'm telling you, all I have to do is say, stop, and you're done. Yeah, you can bark. But without me doing the work, that's really about it. And I'm saying, stop. So now it's 8 minutes into my walk, and it's just my walk. And the rest of this is not a poem anymore. And as soon as I looked here now in front of me, well, one of my favorite trees, which I would have missed if I had waited another 2 seconds to say stop. That tree, like one tree for about the first 18 inches up, and then it's two. But I can never tell whether it was one that turned into two going up or two that turned into one going down. And today, I see this flat stone, wide and long as my foot, jammed down between the two trunks about 5 feet up, and I think, no way that stone got up there on its own. Someone forced it in there. For what? Oh, of course. So this just another tree in the woods might turn into a Robert Frost poem someday when the trunks grow over that stone and it looks like it's part of the twin tree, their shared heart or something. But who, I ask you, whoever you are that put that there is going to write that poem? Me? I don't think so. I'm not even a poet anymore. Not for the rest of this poem, at least, because this is not even a poem. It's a walk in the woods, and I'm just a guy, not the guy. And I can tell you for sure, Robert Frost isn't going to pass this way anytime soon. So I just grabbed that stone and wriggled it out. Took a while. It was jammed in there pretty good. And that tree, I'm telling you, I heard it, said, ah, that's all. Ah, not thanks. It's no poet blowing smoke. But I knew it meant thanks, because now it was back to being just another tree in the woods, and now just another guy in the woods could look at it every now and then, wondering what he wonders, until he gets along on his way. And about 10 feet down the path, I turn around, and those two trunks are in full embrace, no space at all between them, just a graceful serpentine seam, the way true lovers splice together after long separation, so grateful just to be close again. Like that Klimt poster, the kiss everyone had on their dorm room wall back in the 60s. Two people, but so entwined with one another that after two or three tokes, you could swear there's no line at all. And you think, that will be me this weekend with her or her or her. But it never was, because it was always that flat stone someone had jammed in there and neither one of you knew how to get it out. Then one day you do, and you fall into an embrace just like that one, two into one. For it seems like forever, but it's not. Because one day someone up there says, enough is enough, and jams in a rock the size of Gibraltar and says, okay, Paul, let me see you yank that one out. And I can't. So I turn around again and get along on my way. Stop. And now I don't hear any dogs at all. At least not the ones that can't write themselves into poetry books on their own. Need me. Sure. But don't get me wrong. I like dogs. Real dogs, I mean. Not simile dogs, already smelling of poem. Real dogs. That one yesterday, say, Poodle Doodle, leading the way. That one didn't bark at all and wouldn't hurt me. Or Sadie, Bridget's dog, who loves her, no question. Misses her when she's gone, welcomes her home, poses for all the pictures she wants to take. A dog with pizzazz, razzmatazz. Even that high-pitched bark, well, it's charming. And she can make it sound like words if you try hard enough and listen carefully enough. I mean, her own words, not mine. Not some poet hearing all that whining, not here but over there, and thinking, okay, gotta, gotta, gotta. Or who the hell is gonna care about me? Well, I'm here to tell you, all of you, you unwritten poems, I've been around long enough to know that even if I get you pretty great, and I don't get that form letter back, but a real one, nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to care about me one whit anyway. Just you, you lazy, barky little things. Over there. Never here. Always over there. Stop.